Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Papa, can you hear me? Welcome you to another episode of Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. We're going to start the show off with a song from Night Surf out of Starkville, Mississippi. A song called Lies, Lies, Lies.
One, two,
oh, yeah.
All right, let's get the show going. I am in Tuscaloosa, Alabama at Oz Music off of 15th. And I have Jimmy Blake and Jason Templeton with me here today. And not only do they work here at Oz Music, they're also musicians themselves. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that influence and just some of the great music that Oz has here. And so, guys, just to open up, Jimmy, why don't you open it up with, you know, just growing up, how'd you get into music, man? Was it mom and dad's records or a cousin? What did that look like?
Oh, yeah. I always, all the time when my mom would drive us to school or drive me to school, she used to play classic rock radio a lot.
Yeah.
And she absolutely refused to play anything else. So I grew up on a lot of the, like, just classic rock standards. And then when I was 7, I started learning to play violin.
Okay. So what kind of call is that?
The violin?
Yeah.
I told my mom I wanted to play guitar, and she told me if I did that, I had to play violin first. So cool. I just got signed up for private lessons through the local college, Alabama.
Okay. I was going to say, if you was down there with, was it Guitar Gallery?
Oh.
I didn't know if any of those guys. Okay. I know they give lessons.
Nah, I've never done lessons down there, but frequent visit in that shop.
Yeah. Sure, man. So what about you, man?
Well, my, the musical talent in my family, I feel like, skips a generation at a time. My grandmother on my dad's side is a really talented pianist, and my great-grandfather on my grandmother's side, on my mom's side, was a super big pianist in Europe in his time in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of knew about that history growing up, and I've always been interested just from what I knew about that. And I wouldn't really say my music taste developed until, like, middle school.
Yeah.
But I was always interested in song structure as a kid, and I think my parents could tell. And when I got to middle school, I started taking piano lessons, because I was an edgy emo kid. I thought that was boring, so I switched to guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really sure why. I didn't really have any strong influences that pushed me in any direction until high school-ish.
Yeah. And so just talking about, like, structure, was Rush something that you picked up down the line, and
yeah,
that was a big influence?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing, like, huge respect for Rush was, like,
yeah.
It's always so well constructed.
Alex Lifeson is one of my favorite guitarists, definitely.
Yeah.
I was a big metal guy, and I discovered, like, a bunch of post-hardcore bands in middle school, and that got me into, like, old-school extreme metal in high school, like,
yeah.
Morbid Angel and Dark Throne, and that those bands are kind of where the core of my musical identity was started, at least, and I've kind of gone backwards into, like, progressive rock, jazz, pop, and all sorts of other stuff from that direction.
Okay, and just for each of you, like, Jason, what does that look like today? Do you still see those influences in your guitar
oh, yeah.
playing?
Absolutely. Like, my favorite band of all time is Opeth, and
okay.
The way they play guitar and craft songs definitely has a strong influence in my songwriting, as well as kind of the more conceptual-based focus, which I guess derived from, like, Steven Wilson and
yeah.
a lot of the 70s prog rock bands like Pink Floyd and Rush. I like more conceptual journeys, so to speak, rather than just a simple pop structure.
Yeah, that was something that we have been talking about with just albums over the years. It's something that I haven't really seen in a while, was having that, like, prog rock, that Pink
yeah,
Floyd,
yeah.
where it's like you're riding a roller coaster, man. This is a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It starts in one place, and it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meant to be skipped.
Yeah.
You got to take the whole ride.
Yeah, that's definitely what I mean, I want to craft some sort of sonic universe from start to finish and let it be, I guess, make an album that's greater than the sum of its parts, so to speak.
Yeah, sure. So what about you, man?
With guitar, it's kind of a little bit different. I started off with a lot of blues influence with my guitar mostly. I started playing... right after I started learning to play guitar, I got a gig playing in a local blues band.
Yeah? What was that band?
It was called Powerhouse. It didn't do much other than, like, a few talent show gigs and stuff.
Okay.
But that's where I started all my roots, was playing, like, lead and fills in a blues band. And then I started getting into more stuff like more rock and stuff. Like, favorite band, or favorite guitarist of all time, as cheesy as it is, was definitely Eddie Van Halen.
Okay.
I have a 1986 Kramer guitar that I bought
nice.
Just because of that I threw a Seymour Duncan JB and another, like, put together Frankenstrat guitar that I have an EVH pickup in.
Nice.
But that's, like, definitely my influences when it comes to that is a lot of just like shred stuff. Like getting into high school now, I got into a lot of like thrash metal bands. And that's me and another friend of mine who started a band called Holy Smoke, which is gonna, it's like a mostly influences with like doom and thrash, with bands like Toxic Holocaust, Megadeth, Exodus, stuff like that.
Okay, yeah. And so, like, those early blues, was that, like, going back to, like, the Hill Country blues, like R.L. Burnside, or where were you at on the blues?
Stuff more like, kind of like Freddie King kind of stuff. And then I really got into Stevie Ray Vaughan for a while. I was always, I don't know, I was always just really attracted to, like, the greats kind of stuff.
Yeah, one thing about SRV, man, was, I don't know if there was ever a better guitarist, like, rhythmically, and doing leads at the same time, like the dude was incredibly talented.
Scuttlebutton is a it's a bucket list checkmark eventually for me to be able to play.
A guy I took lessons from in Columbus, his name was Dennis McKay, and his biggest inspiration was SRV, and like he taught me how to play one SRV song, and it was like a milestone. You know, I was like, I didn't think I'd be on that level. I remember that being a big deal because with lead players, it seems like you always take one way or the other, maybe with the exception of Clapton. Like when you think about greats like that, it's like they were awfully good at playing lead or awfully good at rhythm.
Yeah.
And he had a way of, it seemed like, both.
To plug one of my favorite albums that came out of 2019, it was Tap Dancing Daddy by Taylor Hollinsworth. The first time that I saw him in Westphalia, I needed a rod and reel to reel my jaw back up to where it should be. The guy's a phenomenal guitarist and songwriter. And so here is Tap Dancing Daddy.
Bobbing to repeat.
own? Like, are both of y'all originally from Northport, Tuscaloosa area?
I'm actually from Sandy Springs, Georgia. I go to school at the university here.
Okay. So how long you been in town, man?
This is my sophomore year, so this is year two.
Gotcha. So what you studying over there?
Aerospace engineering.
Okay. Cool, man. And always from here?
Born and raised. I go to high school down the street from here.
Okay.
I'm a senior.
Okay. Cool, man. And so just meeting each other in this place, how'd y'all find Oz Music and getting a job here, and why'd you want to work here?
I started collecting records 2-3 years ago or so. I got a record player for my grandma for my birthday 1 year. And as far as I know, this is the only record store in town. And so freshman year, I'd come here on the weekends and hang out and look for more records, and noticed that someone here had an Anthrax shirt and realized that I'd want to get a job here too.
Yeah.
And at least try to branch out into the music scene and meet some people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it helps that Druid City's right there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so, man, like, what about you, like, getting a job here?
My mom worked at the law office at UA, and I used to walk there from school every day. In the freshman year, I was walking there one day, and I saw Oz Music, and I didn't know what it was. So I was like, I got free time, I'll check out the music shop, and spent, like, 30 minutes in here just browsing around, looking at stuff, and then I applied a little bit later, and then here I am.
Yeah, in the area, as far as selection, Oz has got the best. Like, I've been to other record stores in this area. Like, I've maybe, I don't know, take it all the way to over to Starkville, and you know, that big of a radius. And yeah, it's hard to find a place that has a selection this big, like, for a lot of different genres. It's normally based on just what's really hot right now, but I mean, you can literally find anything in here.
Especially for our used section, a lot of record stores don't really have a good used section. We get new stuff in every week, and I found several hidden gems in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, I like seeing the posts that y'all put up with the things that are coming in, you know. Oh, I was like, man, I haven't seen that surface in a while.
It's great. So we get a lot of good stuff because you can see we always take used records from people.
Yeah.
Which getting people's collections all the time leads us to getting a lot of really good stuff.
Right. There was in Tupelo, it's like the Salvation Army type store, and they have a $1 record aisle.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine went up there the other day. He'll usually buy them out when he goes, whether it's good or not, and you have to check them. A lot of times they're not any good. But he found a Led Zeppelin II that was near mint, and he got it for $1.
Yeah. That's a good find.
That's a steal.
I remember when I first started working here, there was an old British band called Camel I really like, kind of from the prog rock scene, and their guitarist Andy Latimer is one of my biggest influences in terms of style.
Yeah.
And I found, shortly after I started working here, I found an original pressing of their Mirage album in the used section, and I freaked out and had to take it home.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And so just to talk about last year, and then we'll talk about the decade, it was... It's been an interesting conversation to have, is whoever wants to take the first jump on it. Just for 2019, what was some of your favorite records that came from that era, from that year?
I really enjoyed King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizards Infest the Rat's Nest.
Okay, and so like, what kind of genre is that? If people are unfamiliar,
well, they're like a psychedelic rock band from Australia, and they've done a lot of stuff: folk, jazz, psychedelia, progressive rock, and then at the end of last year they surprised everyone by releasing a thrash metal album. And they still had a lot of their kind of psychedelic cheese all the way through it, so it was just a really fun, enjoyable listen.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of like space themes and stuff, and it's just a wild ride all the way through.
So it kind of goes back to that idea that we were talking earlier with that Pink Floyd, where it's like riding the ride.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Baroness also did really well with their Golden Grey album from last year. They're from Savannah, Georgia, so I have some pride.
Yeah, definitely from the South.
Home state. Opeth's new record, In Cow to Venenum, the crazy prog rock record, very theatrical, even for them. No Man, Stephen Wilson's kind of art rock side project, released this super weird disco album that basically was 2 20-minute songs, and I thought it was crazy. I loved it. And then I think my weirdest pick for 2019 was 100 Gex, 1,000 Gex. I don't even know what to call them. Electro, bubblegum bass, kind of digital glitch trap, whatever.
Yeah. Just whatever word you can put together.
Yeah. It's the most insane, like, modern digital music I've ever heard, but yeah. It's
gotta listen
very
to
enjoyable.
It.
Yeah. All right, and Jimmy?
I had started off with Toxic Holocaust's Primal Future 2019. It's just, it's like one of my, Toxic Holocaust is like one of my favorite, like, modern thrash bands, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I waited all year for that album to come out. So as soon as that one came out, that's what I threw all over. And Santana's Africa Speaks, which I got a...
Yeah.
Good pick.
I can always, I don't know, I always like Santana, and I always like listening to, like, funky live stuff,
yeah.
Or, like, jammy stuff. A lot of, like, Allman Brothers and Santana's, like, Live at Woodstock is always something I'm liking to listen to, so kind of like that Santana with the tribal African kind of sound mix, I just really dug it. Gatekeeper's Deserted, which just a good release with, sounds like some, like, classic death metal type stuff.
Yeah.
Some just sick riffs and just sludgy kind of sound. A weird one on here, kind of the Ty Segall's First Taste, which I like a lot of Ty Segall's other stuff, which sounds like a lot of, like, garage rock, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Would be a good way to call it, but this one, I don't even think there is a single guitar on this album. It's all just, like, electronic, kind of, like, disco pop stuff. I don't know. It's really weird, but it's an interesting listen for just a complete turn in genre styles for him.
Yeah.
And then Angel Witch's Angel of Light, because I really dig old bands like Angel Witch and Venom and stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. Angel of Light, just it sounded pretty much like their old stuff and just kicked ass. So
there you go.
I'd be remiss in giving my favorite albums of 2019. It would go to the Sudden Opera, Tony Bradshaw. This probably isn't even the best song off of that record, but what is even figuring out what the best song is? It was one of them albums to where everything was gold. But this is a song called Didn't It Rain?
Yeah.
like that new Brittany Howard.
Yeah, that was good. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah. At first, it was weird. At first, I didn't like it, but it grew on me. It took me a couple times.
It's gotten a good bit of airplay in the store, I'd say.
Yeah.
We've had a bunch of like special editions and pressings of that one come through here. I know it's been a pretty popular pick.
Yeah.
Especially around here.
Yeah. I mean, with Alabama Shakes.
Yeah.
They always sell.
Yeah. And I remember when, I wasn't here for it, but I remember when Alabama Shakes did a release show right here.
Oh, yeah.
In the store. I guess the latest release one was John Paul White. That would have been earlier this year?
Yeah, he...
Or last year?
It was built last year. He came in store and played a show.
Yeah.
And we also had St. Paul and the Broken Bones came in.
Yeah.
They did a show here one time, but this time they just did a meet and greet. But they had the tickets sold for their show at Druid City.
Mm-hmm. That was around the Bicentennial Fest and all that, right?
I think.
I think it was a little bit after that. But anyway, just over the decade from, 2010 to 2019, what were some of the picks for the decade for y'all?
I've been on kind of a jazz bend for the past several months, and so my roommate got me turned on to Kamasi Washington, and his album, The Epic, is definitely one of my top picks. It's crazy, like almost 3 hour long jazz album.
Yeah.
And he sounds like, to me, kind of sounds like John Coltrane, but he blows a lot harder into his saxophone. So it's John Coltrane, but wilder.
Yeah.
And it's almost psychedelic, I'd argue. He's played with some crazy impressive musicians. And I know he was on like Kendrick Lamar, To Pimp a Butterfly, and he played with Thundercat and Flying Lotus.
Yeah.
And it's great to hear that he's got his own music now, because it's all fantastic stuff. Daughters, You Won't Get What You Want. They were kind of unknown to me for a while. I never really dabbled into the like hardcore, metallic hardcore scene, but they released a new album in 2018.
Yeah.
Called You Won't Get What You Want, and it was like a nightmare fueled modern industrial rock, noise rock type thing, and the first time I heard it, I was terrified. it is darker than any heavy metal album could ever aspire to be.
Yeah.
But it grew on me, and definitely one of my favorite picks of the decade.
So like, how'd you find it?
Might have been Anthony Fantano. Okay. I don't really watch a whole lot of his videos, but I know he gave that album a perfect review, and I was like, I gotta check this out.
Yeah.
Stephen Wilson's The Raven That Refused to Sing might be one of the best prog rock jazz fusion albums I've heard from modern times. Same deal with Opeth's Pale Communion. And then Baroness's Purple from 2015 I thought was absolutely fantastic.
Cool. What about you, Jimmy?
I got, I just started out with Marcus King Band's self-titled Marcus King Band. I could sing the praises of Marcus King for God knows how long.
Yeah, that's a little bit of that blues coming back, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, psychedelic, southern jazz, rock, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to see him yet?
I'm actually going to go see him in New Orleans with Billy Strings come May.
Nice.
But that's something I'm waiting for.
Yeah, man.
But then Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats, The Night Creeper.
Mm. Good one.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats, a lot of that, like, doom and kind of, I guess, stoner rock stuff I really dig. And that one with just kind of that, like, slasher kind of vibe to it that the whole album carries.
They've got that, really, like 70s, like, or late 60s psychedelic feel, but also, like, kind of like a cult horror movie type vibe to them.
Yeah.
It's cool stuff.
It's sick. And, turn with Chance the Rapper's Coloring Book, which, a lot of stuff. Like, I got a little bit of rap in here. I don't know. The Chance the Rapper, Childish Gambino's Awaken My Love, which I just love the whole, like, I love Funkadelic.
Yeah.
Parliament and almost anything George Clinton has touched. So the whole kind of like 70s funk, psychedelic funk aspect that that whole album with Childish Gambino carries, I just absolutely love.
Yeah. That was a good album. I remember that one because it surprised me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going to be like that.
It caught me off guard. I heard Redbone like everyone else, but I thought, you know, if the rest of the album sounds like this, then
that'll
be pretty great. And then talked about earlier, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, Half the City is on here. So I can't go wrong. I don't think you can go wrong with a kind of southern, like soul horns, R&B kind of thing.
Yeah, man. And just seeing them live, I like what St. Paul does with the get up with the feathers.
Oh,
and
man. I saw them when they did that concert for Druid City with Young Set Camilla for that album. I was able to get right up against the stage.
Yeah.
And he's a showman. He just knows how to put on a good show. The whole band does.
He is, man. I'm so proud of what they've been doing, and it's just good to say that they're from this area. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So, good one to claim.
Yeah. And back to Toxic Holocaust's Conjure and Command. It's a lot of that kind of, thrash, metal, black, kind of black and thrash, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Inspired stuff. And Skeleton Witches Devouring Radiant Light, which a lot of earlier Skeleton Witches, more thrashy, but just kind of that, that whole album has a haunting feeling to it with the black metal kind of inspiration I would really dig. And Amine's Good For You, which is just a banger.
Yeah.
Absolute banger. And Ex Mortis Slave to the Sword, which I really like their Moonlight Sonata, the Act 3 on there. So I dig a lot of classical stuff with the back of the violin. And Sturgill Simpson's A Sailor's Guide to Earth.
There you go. Yeah. That's a good one. Can't go wrong there.
Oh, no.
Which I knew it was going to be different because he was doing all that anime for the album, but that latest album that he put out, I knew that it was going to be very different.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a way different than anything he had put out. I was blown away by Turtles All the Way Down.
Oh, yeah.
That whole thing.
I always admire any kind of multimedia type production. That one, I didn't know what it was. And when it came out, we had people coming in the store asking for it left and right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I checked it out at home one day. And I've never been super big into country, but that was, I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Especially with the screenplay to go with it.
Yeah. And he teamed up with Tyler Childers, and I'm not the biggest, I don't like anything hardly radio country, but Tyler Childers and Sturgill, I can do that.
Yeah.
it just has a certain sincerity about it. And the fact that he didn't get invited into the CMAs, so he played outside.
Yeah.
that was epic. And so just to talk a little bit about 2020, and a lot of things have dropped already, and there's festivals. I don't know if y'all keep your eyes on different music festivals coming and who's set list and who's going to be there, but what are some things for 2020 musically that you are looking forward to, whether it's in your own music or just a favorite band maybe getting together and putting something out this year?
I haven't really paid attention much to the roster of what new is coming this year. I've kind of just waiting for things to reach me, I guess. Being here kind of helps with that because I always get updates on new releases.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely excited about getting our album out there.
Sure.
We got about one more song to finish writing, and then we're planning on taking it to the studio whenever we can.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Great.
Yeah.
What about you, Jimmy?
Kind of the same way. I mean, working here, the music just kind of finds its way to us.
Yeah.
I mean, talked about Marcus King earlier. He just released a solo album with which I absolutely dug for this year. But other than that, I'm just kind of waiting to see what I find, or waiting for summer concert season, I guess.
Yeah, and it won't be long, and it'll be around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, anything else to add or subtract before we walk the thing out the door?
Listen to Lunar Park.
Talk about Lunar Park a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, go for it.
I guess I don't really know where I got the name for it. It was from a novel that I actually haven't read. that it was an influence for a Porcupine Tree album I like. But I don't know. It always had a nice ring to me. Lunar Park did. My goals for it. I'd love to not be known as a guy who just does one thing.
And yeah.
Because a lot of that extreme metal and progressive kind of storyline type stuff is at the core of my musical DNA. Regardless of what style I end up writing in, it's always tends to lean more conceptual. And I've got 10-13 minute songs that I have thrown around in there somewhere. And I'm super excited about this album that's coming out. I've worked really hard on it.
Yeah.
And finally, from working here and getting to know the music scene better, I've met some other musicians who are like-minded and all very talented, and I'm super excited about recording, getting it out there, and hopefully playing some shows.
Yeah, man. Great. And like I say, just send that stuff over, and I don't mind playing it here on the show.
Absolutely,
to get
yeah.
it out. And guys, just for Oz Music, ways to get connected and see what's going on. Y'all got an Instagram page and a Facebook. It's Oz Music, right?
Oz Music Online.
Oz Music Online. And so even if you're not from the Tuscaloosa area, but if you are, you'd be a fool not to stop in here if you like any kind of music or comedy or vinyls or movies, even.
Mm-hmm. Movies, records, CDs, got it all. Just about anything to get our hands on.
Right. And so stop in here and support your local record store. Jason, Jimmy, anything else?
I think that's
all. Cool, guys. It. Appreciate y'all taking the time, man.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, man. News and notes. Hey, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Porch Talk. If you would, rate and review the show on whatever app it is that you listen to on. Subscribe, leave a comment, share it with a friend, put it on your social media. Follow us on our social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and you can see some of the photos from behind the scenes and things way off the scene, and just some of the sketches that we video from time to time. Cool? All right, so we're going to walk this thing on out the door with Jason Templeton. We just had him here. We were just talking. This is his project. This is a song called Cosmonaut, and I'm getting on out of here. Peace out. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.